Just really tired right now.
I'm really tired too. Let's just end the show right there. Hello and welcome to the Exploding Barrel Podcast for the week of September 29th, 2008. I want to say 30th because today is the 30th, but for the week of, you know.
Right.
Right. So, how are you doing, Ajgai?
Okay.
How's Pittsburgh?
How are you? Yeah, it's good. It's sunny now. It was raining earlier.
Oh, yeah. Was it raining cats and dogs?
Oh, please don't do it.
Okay. Well, we're going to do our usual show today. We're going to start off with the news. Then we're going to go into the Great American Ajgai Gaming Quiz. You got any answer or dies for me?
I'll come up with something.
You'll come up with something? All right, so we'll have answer or die. Then we're going to talk about our week in gaming. We're going to hit the weekly releases, downloadable and otherwise. We'll talk about Derek Robbins' top 10 list over on 411 Mania. Dive into the mail barrel, and that'll be the whole show.
All right.
So why don't we get started with that news?
Okay.
I said get started.
Okay. First of all, we have a duo of co-op cuts. First of all, Little Big Planet, when it comes out later this month, or next month, it's not quite October, will not have online cooperative creation mode. You'll be able to play through levels in co-op online, but you won't be able to make anything. And people are giving the lamest excuse for this. They're saying, like, well, it's okay because every time you unlock a new feature or something in the creator, you have to sit through a tutorial. So, like, if you're ahead of your friend, you'd have to watch a tutorial. Simple solution, turn off the tutorials in co-op and let your friend explain it to you. Whatever, it's going to come. There's absolutely no timetable given on how long it'll be. It just seemed to me that was kind of one of the major selling points of the game.
Well, I don't know if the major... What, the co-op level creation?
Yeah, that was one of the things that kept going on about. Well, not only can you do all this great stuff, but you can do it with your friends.
I think one of the I think all of the cool levels, AJ, are not going to be made in co-op level creation.
Right? Yeah, yes, this is true. Well, then, and similarly, Fable 2 will not be shipping with online co-op play. They say, however, it will be patched in, they expect, within the first week of the game's release.
They're hoping maybe so, in time for release, I guess.
Yeah, so, again, I guess that's not too bad, but again, this is like a major selling point of this game. And I mean, it went gold like a month ago. I think this is kind of the problem now with console games being patchable. Like, that's a major feature. And yes, it is getting patched in and it will be there, but like, used to be that if that wasn't ready yet, you didn't go gold.
Yeah. I mean, that's a big deal for Fable 2, because that's a big feature.
Right.
But I mean, that's something I'm looking forward to.
But the game will still have, like, you'll still see your friends list orbs floating around, you can still chat with them, you can still trade with them, you just can't invite them into your world.
Okay, well, makes sense.
Furthering cuts for October's releases, Bethesda had a history with all their PC games of shipping the mod tools right with the games. This won't be the case for Fallout 3. They said that just they've been so focused on getting the game done this time that they really haven't been able to do that. It's not completely out of the question yet, but they actually haven't even like outright said, oh, don't worry, we're going to do it. They won't like confirm that it is coming eventually. Yeah, so hopefully it will.
For some reason, I never even thought about mod tools in Fallout 3. But yeah, I guess that sort of is a thing they do, huh?
Yeah, so
be kind of
hopefully
weird,
it does come.
It'd be weird to see people do with that.
Yeah, that was always like the reason why people say like, oh, Oblivion was so much better on PC because you got all the free mod content, so.
Right, so not anymore.
Yes.
Settle for 360, I guess.
Whatever, I prefer it on that anyway. Let's talk some Mega Man 9 DLC.
Yay.
If you bought the game on WiiWare, you saw in the instructions that the list, release dates, and price for some upcoming DLC. I'm going to read the list, and then I want to hear your thoughts on this. So, on October 6th, they'll release two. First will be the Proto Man mode for 200 Wii points or $2. And these are presumably also all coming to the 360 and PS3 for the same prices. This is the one we talked about before. Play as Proto Man. You have a shield. The shield works while jumping. He knocks back further, has charge shot and sliding. Endless attack mode. This is $3, 300 Wii points. Test your skills on a stage without end. Try to break the record for getting the furthest. Results are displayed in the rankings. Then on October 20th, there's three more pieces. Hero mode and superhero mode. These are 100 points each. They're basically hard and extra hard mode for the game. And special stage for 100 Wii points, which gives you another time attack stage, including a new boss at the end. So what do you think of this?
Well, Proto Man's cool. That's awesome.
Yes.
Okay, I mean, I guess the major complaint for people is this stuff was probably ready and should have been just with the game.
Well, if you buy all of this, you're spending another $8, which is almost the cost of the game.
Well, yeah, but that's because the game was so cheap already.
Yeah, but I mean, you're essentially buying, you get a character, two stages, and hard mode and extra hard mode. The stages, that's somewhat substantial, and granted, I can't imagine, like, unless there's a lot to these stages, I can't imagine really there's much to them.
Well, the one has a boss. That sounds interesting. I wonder what that boss is.
Well, I don't understand. That one's 100 points, and then the test your skill, the endless attack one's 300. So what makes that one three times as good?
Because it's infinitely long?
Then there can't be much to it. It probably loops or is random.
Well,
or
I imagine it does loop. There's a guy. They have a guy constantly programming this level as you play it.
Yeah.
Oh God, they're catching up. Quick, disappearing tiles.
It seems to fall in that Japanese trope of like content being held back for DLC rather than actually making new content post-release available.
Well, do you think if they had included this stuff with the game, the price would be more than $10?
I don't think it should have been. This is like... Well, especially, my biggest problem is the hero mode and superhero mode. That's pretty standard stuff.
100, to but have yeah, okay,
your hard mode in a game.
Let's look at it in context. 100 points each for one of those. $1.
Yeah.
$1, and you don't have to buy it.
And I won't be. So... I guess that's the case, but it just feels like that's stuff that should be included with the game.
Well, why? What other Mega Man game has ever had a hard mode or another hard mode?
Yeah, but we can't... I know this game looks and is presented like an NES game from 20 years ago, but the fact is it's not. It's still a new game coming out in 2008, and it should match our expectations of what's included in a game in 2008, and I think difficulty modes are not something you should be paying for.
Then don't pay for them. See, that's the problem. People complain and they don't act. There's a lot of people who are complaining and are still going to buy these modes. I probably won't buy them because I don't want them. But, I mean, wait, you were saying so. I mean, now this game is pretty reasonably priced at $10.
Yeah.
I just want to say that because you.
You know what? I'll say the same thing to you then. For $60 with Oblivion, I got a 100 plus hour game. So, what's another $250 for some horse armor?
Because horse armor doesn't do anything. At all. That's completely aesthetic. I'm not buying, like, a Proto Man skin.
Well, the horse armor did actually armor your horse. Or even still, people complain that, like a dungeon...
I thought it didn't armor your horse, and that's why people complained a lot.
No, it did. I'll take another step. It did.
I'm pretty sure it did nothing for your horse.
I'll look it up for you later. It did. All right. Anyway, okay, it's fine. So in Oblivion, they had, little mini dungeons that were $2 each. Okay, same thing. A level for $2. People were flipping out. This stuff should be free. Blah, 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 blah. It's the same thing.
Okay, but you would probably support that Oblivion stuff, and you wouldn't support this.
Well, that at least came out 6 months later.
Okay, so if they arbitrarily held this stuff off for 6 months, would you feel better?
Well, I wouldn't know any better, I guess, is the point.
See, exactly. We don't know any better.
Yeah, exactly.
There's no game today that does not have some sort... So many games have a DLC plan, you know? And that stuff could be in the game in the beginning, but no. They say, okay, we'll have some DLC later. People will buy it. And not just Eastern developers, but Western developers do, too.
I know that. I just think... I think Japanese developers are a little more overt about, yeah, we just held this out to charge
well,
you for it.
I think it's just as shady for Rockstar to be talking about DLC and Grand Theft Auto 4 since, like, the game was announced and telling people why, oh, you should buy the 360 version because it's going to have DLC. How much? We haven't even seen anything about this DLC. Supposedly it's coming out this year.
True.
I mean, that seems a little questionable to me. In the end, this is $8, and I don't want this to be the new DRM. It's just the new thing we're going to complain about necessarily.
Very well.
So, why don't we move on?
All right, let's go into some MMO news. First of all, with the news of Ensemble closing, we got some leaked Halo MMO concept art and screenshots. Did you look at these?
I did. That was interesting.
Yeah, like the screenshots showed an interface that looked very much like WoW. It looked very fantasy-ish, even though it was Halo.
Yeah, you're on like all these kind of alien worlds where just something about the plant life was
They showed like a guy in like Spartan armor with no helmet, like dual wielding swords, and I was like, really?
Yeah,
and
there was like the girl who like has like that armor that still exposes her navel.
Yeah.
They also
had a bunch of concept art for, like, vehicles and all these different outfits and stuff. I mean, I'm sure it was probably a license to print money. And, I mean, Microsoft's been very open about saying we have several Halo projects in development. So I wouldn't be surprised if there is still a Halo MMO in the works. Maybe not this one.
I wonder why not this one.
Well, to me, it looks like this was basically like a Halo-skinned World of Warcraft, and I really don't think that's what's going to get... You might get Halo players to buy it, but I don't think they're going to keep paying a subscription fee after a month of that.
Right, I think they should make... I think Halo has enough clout that they can innovate in this genre a little bit and make something sort of new.
Or even, like, Halo could be Microsoft's opportunity to create something that will compete with MAG.
Compete with MAG, yeah, I guess.
Yes. Well, speaking of MAG.
MAG will be happy to compete with Halo anything.
Yeah. Well, MAG may actually have fees attached to it. Sony is doing a survey, which was kind of feeling out people's willingness to pay either a yearly or monthly fee or individual one-time fees for, content downloads. Basically turning this exactly into Planet Side.
Yeah, but without the appeal. There is just nothing about MAG that interests me.
The game just smacks of being generic. Yes. I mean, from its name to its setting, it's just completely generic. It's unimaginative.
It has no appeal whatsoever. And I'm definitely not going to pay monthly for it.
No, certainly not. More MMO. Wow, there's a lot of MMO stuff, so we'll keep going with it. The Fallout MMO appears to be back on at Interplay. They are teasing what they call Project V13. They've rehired Chris Taylor, not the Total Annihilation Dungeon Seed Chris Taylor. It's another one. But he was one of the original designers on the original Fallout. And if this does happen, apparently, because Bethesda outright bought the Fallout IP, but Interplay retained the option to make a Fallout MMO, and the terms of the buyout were that Bethesda will get like a percentage cut of all revenue from any Fallout MMO that Interplay might make.
Oh, that's interesting. You know, it's kind of weird that all of these people seem to be jumping at the chance to make an MMO.
It's stupid. I think you're not gonna beat World of Warcraft. I mean, I can understand, like, you know, Warhammer went into development 4 years ago, about the time World of Warcraft came out, so, like, no one knew what World of Warcraft is going to get so huge. And the same is true for, like, Lord of the Rings Online and Age of Conan. They kind of didn't know what they were getting into at the time, and it was too late to abort the project. You may as well have finished it. But I think now, for anyone to announce that they're making a new MMO and expect to beat World of Warcraft, you can't do it. Especially, you can't do the traditional grinding, loot-based, $15 a month MMO. You need to do something. And I think the big thing about it is you've got to get rid of subscription fees. Because with everybody playing World of Warcraft, most of those people are not going to either quit World of Warcraft to play your game, or play your game and pay for World of Warcraft at the same time. Most people are going to just play one MMO, and it's going to be WoW.
It just seems like lazy choices. I mean, almost everyone, like, what are we going to do? Where are we going to take our franchise next? We'll make it an MMO. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, what, they want to make Halo an MMO? They want to make Fallout an MMO? I mean, maybe I can understand, like Fallout, oh, that's a good idea. Then we make KOTOR an MMO. You know, it's just, these things don't need to be MMOs.
Right.
And, you know, these games, if you're not well, it's kind of hard to turn a profit. I mean, I think they're saying just Conan, like, just recently, it started out pretty strong with 700,000 subscribers, but now that free month is up, it's kind of going down. They're merging servers right now, I think, which is never really a good sign.
Right, exactly. That's usually the first telltale sign that the game's not doing too hot.
Right, you want to create more servers.
Right. Well,
I remember when Matrix Online went to 3 servers.
They were trying to spin it like this is so good.
Yeah. Oh man. Now you'll be able to interact with more people.
Yeah.
Oh goody.
Well, a game that is doing well, at least for now, is Warhammer Online. They've announced they are at 500,000 subscribers, which makes it the fastest growing MMO ever at launch.
Oh, that's good. I hope that those people stick around after their free month is up.
Yep, I plan on it. I'll tell you what I'll say for Warhammer. It's probably been the smoothest MMO launch I've ever seen. You really don't hear any problems about it.
No, it's been going pretty well for me.
Yeah, I think the biggest complaint I heard was there was a known bug where sometimes if you entered a scenario queue, you would just get stuck in it indefinitely, but they patched that within a week.
Yeah, there you go.
So, good on those guys. Well done. Alright, that's enough MMO talk. Let's talk about Spore DRM. Very brief mention.
Oh, God.
A class action lawsuit has been brought on EA for Spore's DRM. I'm surprised it took this long, honestly. The big complaint of the suit is that not only does it have secure ROM, which limits the buyer's rights and everything, but the fact that once you've installed any game that uses secure ROM, even if you uninstall the game, you actually can't uninstall the secure ROM software. It becomes permanently part of your machine, and they're claiming that this is an invasion of users' privacy. So we'll see how far this goes.
Probably not very. Hey, speaking of, all things in the court systems and whatnot, didn't Jack Thompson get disbarred?
Wow, you're, like, reading my mind. Yes, he has been disbarred, and he actually cannot, like, reapply for, I don't know the terminology, legal licensure or whatever. So, yeah, he's no longer a lawyer. Well, he's just Jack Thompson, crazy guy.
Just Jack Thompson guy.
Yep. Of course, he plans on fighting it however he can, and he's saying that this is... He tried to make it a religious thing. I don't have a quote, but he tried to say, like, these were a bunch of pigs assaulting a Christian man or something.
Nice, nice.
Yes. So let's talk about GameTap. We talked a while ago how they were actually up for sale by Time Warner, and they've been purchased by a company called Metabully, or I don't know. They're based out of Paris. Apparently, they have, like, a similar game distribution platform and website in Europe. So they've bought GameTap, and under the agreement's terms, Turner will continue managing GameTap's operations and handle the transition and everything until sometime in early 2009, at which point Metabully will completely take it over, and they'll continue the service, and it'll stay within Atlanta, and Turner will become an equity investor. While Metabully kind of creates now a global online gaming service with a GameTap brand in the U.S. and under their own brand in Europe.
Yeah.
So it's good to know that GameTap's not going anywhere.
Yeah, good to know.
Okay, let's talk some Burnout Paradise. There's cars in the game. The bike patch came out a couple weeks ago, and now a new patch on the PS3 has added trophies. The problem being, though, they had originally promised that when they added trophies, it would work retroactively because of the way their save game works, but apparently it doesn't work. They apologize, and you just have to kind of start the game over again to get trophies, I guess.
I haven't been too concerned about PS3 trophies since that started up.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's because there's not points.
Well, there's not points.
It's just, like, numbers.
I don't want to play through games again. Like, levels. You know.
I don't know. Also, I don't have a PS3, so that might have something to do with it.
Oh, yeah, that hurts you.
Bungie released their cryptic Halo 3 something or other teaser. And you watched this, right?
Actually, I didn't watch it. I just read about it. And, you know, everyone was saying it wasn't much, so I didn't feel too compelled to see it.
Yeah, you just kind of see these, like, dropship things landing in a city. The marketplace description for the video on Xbox Live Marketplace, like, calls it a new Halo 3 experience, which has people thinking it's going to be some kind of expansion pack, probably downloadable. I guess there is, like, in the novels and all this stuff, there is, like, an elite, like, fighting force within the Halo universe called, like, I forget their name, they're like Orbital Drop Team or something like that, and people are thinking it might be a squad-based expansion starring those guys.
Yeah, makes sense, I guess. Get more Halo money.
Yep. Never a bad thing for Microsoft. Oh, I missed some MMO news I should have mentioned before. Oh well, we'll drop it in here. Company of Heroes a while ago announced that they're creating a mission creator add-on for Company Heroes free of charge, which would basically allow you to make your own quests and missions in the game, like elaborate scripted little encounters. They pushed it back because I guess one of the things that they considered like a down-the-line addition for it would be the option to create your own characters to populate it with tools much like the character creator already in the game. And they said after seeing the kind of fan outcry for that feature, they're taking everything in the patch except for the mission creator and releasing it soon, and then the mission creator along with the character creator will come out in a few months.
Cool. You say this was for City of Heroes?
Yeah, it's an appealing feature, I think.
Yeah, it's a neat idea.
Yeah, so it could be a... I guess it would really be kind of the first instance of such in-depth user-generated content in an MMO.
It would be.
So yeah. It's nice to watch how that works. Speaking of user-generated content, Steam will begin hosting mods. I've been kind of waiting for this to happen for a while. They're going to start off with 5 mods that they'll host in the service. Age of Chivalry, Dip Rip, Insurgency, Synergy, and Zombie Panic. They'll work just like any other Steam game. You know, they'll use Steamworks. They'll be automatically updated. The whole shebang. So that's cool, instead of, you know, having it go to the website, download, install it, manually patch and everything. So as long as you have any game that uses the Source Engine, you'll be eligible to download these.
This is a lot of news.
What'd you say?
I said this is a lot of news.
Yeah, I do have a lot of news. We're almost done. So after Luke Bernard announced that he was quitting the gaming industry forever, Eternity's Child 2 has been announced to come out sometime in 2009.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I guess it was supposed to be a Game Boy Advance title or something, but now it's going to be a WiiWare title.
I'm confused. I don't know.
I am too. I think that guy's just weird. So, we'll see how that turns out. Puzzle Quest is coming to the iPhone sometime this fall.
Oh, I saw that. Man,
yeah,
that's cool. I play Puzzle Quest at very long stretches at a time. I can't imagine the battery would hold out very well.
Right.
It's the complete Puzzle Quest, right?
Uh-huh. And then presumably when Puzzle Quest Galactics comes out, that'll be on the iPhone as well.
Interesting. Makes sense, though.
Oh. Keep cutting out.
What?
You keep cutting out.
I keep cutting out?
Yeah.
Well, you keep cutting out.
All right. Skype must be having issues. Eh, anyway.
Okay, well, just cut that out though when you're editing it.
I know. Okay. So after some rumors of it, we have confirmation that a Rock Band AC/DC is coming. It's actually a Walmart exclusive title, so you'll only be able to get it at Walmart, Sam's Club, or any of their online stores. It's a disc that contains. Let's see, I did a fast count before. I think it was something like. 18 songs or something.
That's a lot of songs.
Yeah, and it's coming on Xbox 360, PS3, Wii, and PS2. And the nice thing is that, yes, if you get the PS3 or 360 version, much like Rock Band 1, you can upload the tracks onto your hard drive and still be able to play them in Rock Band 2. So I don't see why this couldn't just be DLC. I guess it... Like, AC/DC must have insisted that there'd be a retail presence for it or something. But, I mean, so you have to buy it instead of downloading it, but it'll work exactly the same. So you just can't pick and choose the songs, I guess, is the downer to it. So, I mean, I still, I'm kind of, I don't like the idea that we have to have these disc-based things like this, but if it's got to work, it's, I'd rather it be like this than like Guitar Hero Aerosmith, where you can at least integrate it back into the main experience.
Right. Yeah, it's going to work.
Yeah. And the last thing, speaking of music and games, if you pre-order Chrono Trigger DS, you will get a soundtrack CD that has two tracks, Chrono Trigger Orchestra version and Chrono Trigger Medley Orchestra version. The medley has like six melodies from the original soundtrack.
What medleys?
Doesn't say.
Ooh, I want to hear those songs.
Yes. So go pre-order it.
No, because no need that game what? Again.
I do.
Well, you pre-order it and I'll burn the CD.
Okay.
There you go.
Okay, so yeah, I'm finally done.
Really? You promised?
Yep.
Okay. Well, let's do the quiz then.
All right.
Ready? Great American Agile Gaming Quiz. I got five questions plus a bonus question. Get 5 points, then you win, and the quiz is yours.
Oh, boy.
Okay. First question, name 6 of the 8 Robot Masters from Mega Man 9.
Oh boy, okay, Concrete Man.
Yeah.
Boy, my brain just turned to jelly. Wow. Wow, Magma Man?
Yes.
Gravity Man. No, I take that back. Galaxy Man.
Yeah.
I need 3 more.
Mm-hmm.
What's the girl's name?
You lose.
No, I'm not done.
You're done, God.
What are the others?
Splash Woman, Plug Man, Concrete Man, Tornado Man, Magma Man, Hornet Man, Jewel Man, and Galaxy Man.
All right. Haven't played it yet.
Well, that's your fault.
Uh-huh.
Which game was released first in Japan? Mega Man 6 or Mega Man X?
Mega Man X.
No, Mega Man 6.
Dang, it was a trick question.
Mega Man 6 was released on October 5th, 1993. Mega Man X was released on January 14th, 1994. However, in America, Mega Man X actually was released first, interestingly enough. Yeah. Alright, ready for question 3?
Yep.
Kirby Superstar was notable for being the first Kirby game to have co-op play, but another Kirby game let a second player play as the character Gooey. Which game is this?
Kirby 64?
No, Kirby's Dream Land 3.
Oh.
You know nothing about Kirby, huh?
Apparently not.
Well, that's not good, because the next question's Kirby-based, too.
Great.
Not counting Canvas Curse, or the two remakes, Nightmare in Dream Land and Superstar Ultra, how many side-scrolling Kirby games are there?
Okay. Kirby on the Game Boy. Kirby on the NES. Kirby 64, Kirby's Dream Land 3, the original Kirby's Superstar, Kirby Squeak Squad, or whatever that was called on the Game Boy, and then there was another one in the DS. I'm going to go with 7.
There are 8.
Damn it, what did I forget?
Oh, there's Kirby's Dream Land, Kirby's Adventure, Kirby's Dream Land 2, Kirby's Superstar, Kirby's Dream Land 3, Kirby's 64, Kirby in the Amazing Mirror, and Kirby Squeak Squad.
I didn't think that, like, I thought, like, the NES one was 2. I didn't realize there was another 2.
No, remember there was
Kirby the Game Boy the Game 2. Boy. Jeez.
That's for shame. Okay, well, what, you got nothing so far?
Correct.
Question 5. What is the subtitle for Double Dragon 2?
I just read this, like, yesterday. I have no idea.
The Revenge.
What?
The Revenge.
Damn it.
Alright, bonus question. What is the subtitle for Double Dragon 3?
I like just watched the Angry Video Game Nerd on this like 2 days ago. I don't know.
The Sacred Stones.
Damn it.
Although I think in Japan, in the original arcade version, it was called the Rosetta Stone. But there you go. That's cool. Well, you got a fabulous score of 0.
What's my bonus question?
That was the bonus question.
Oh, damn it.
You lose. Good well, day, I'll sir. Say. Well, that was a fantastic failure.
I guess so.
Do you have any answer or dice for me?
Yeah, I got a couple.
Okay, let's hear it.
All right. What is your favorite third-party accessory manufacturer? 5.
Nyko, I guess.
4. 3. 2.
I said Nyko.
Oh, cut out.
I know I cut out.
All right, explain yourself.
They made that perfect shot for the Wii, and it's pretty good.
That's the only thing you like that they've made?
Well, that's the only third-party accessory I have bought in a long time. They also have that charge station, which is pretty nifty.
See, you could identify two. That's good. I would have said Logitech myself.
Logitech is overrated and stupid.
Oh, wait, man. Their wireless controller for the PS2 was sweet.
It was not sweet. It was ugly and big.
I said I had a couple. That was kind of a lie. I'm trying to think of another one. Okay. What is your favorite Kirby game?
5, Kirby Superstar.
4. Okay. Why?
It always has been. It has all those mini games. Has great co-op play. It's good. It's the best one easily. I need to get that DS version.
Okay. What is your favorite non-traditional Kirby game?
5. Gambit's Curse.
4. Give me another one. That's quasi-traditional.
Oh, okay. Kirby's Pinball. 5, 4,
okay.
Kirby's Pinball. That was one of the first, like, kind of, we're going to turn a video game character into a pinball game before Sonic Spinball and Pokemon Pinball or whatever. No, Kirby
Metroid
Pinball.
Pinball.
What's that?
Wait, was it before Sonic Spinball?
Yes. I think it was. I almost did that as one of the questions for the quiz.
No.
But, no, Kirby Pinball is good stuff. Kind of even brought Kirby elements into it. It was fun. It's still a fun game.
Good. All right, I'll let you off the hook now.
Okay, I'm free. All right, that was pretty easy. All right, so our week in gaming. I played Mega Man 9, all of it.
Yeah, did you like it?
I did like it a lot. I mean, seriously, they made a Mega Man game.
That's good.
That is as good as Mega Man 2 and 3. So, I mean, it's fantastic.
Now, what do you think of this? Shane Bettenhausen on 1UP Yours this past week claimed that it doesn't look as good as Mega Man 2. What do you say?
What does he mean, exactly?
I don't know.
What did he say?
It wasn't 1UP Yours, it's Retronauts. I don't know, he was just saying, like, if you compare the levels of Mega Man 9 to the levels in Mega Man 2, they don't look nearly as good.
I don't understand the statement.
I don't either.
I think they don't look. I don't know what to say to that. They're 8-bit Mega Man levels. They all look they look nearly identical. Wasn't he always down on this?
Kind of, yeah.
Okay, yeah. So don't worry about it. No, the game is great. What? I just can't get. Don't worry. Ugh. She even brought that up. It's just weird. But no, the game is really great. I mean, there's not a whole lot for me to really say about, because yeah, it plays a lot like Mega Man 2, but it's a lot of fun. If you know, you think you might like it. If you're a fan of those old Mega Man games, you got to play it. Definitely right. Some of the most fun I've had. You got to get it tomorrow when it comes out on Xbox.
Yes.
And then cards. I also got to play Warhammer Online more with my Witch Hunter Geralt.
Yes, and I've been playing with my Warrior Priest Jerg. I'm on to, like, the second tiered area, or whatever you want to call it.
Oh, you're on second tier? What level are you?
12.
Oh, I'm just level 9 now, yeah.
Possible cap of 40, and you get your mount of 20. I've also visited the Order capital city of Altdorf.
I've been there once.
It's big, but it looks cool.
Is there, like, a different scenario to play than in tier 2?
Yeah. I haven't done it yet.
Does it work differently? Are they all kind of control points?
I don't know. Like, the map made it. I think. Oh, no. I remember. I read the description. It's something with a flag. Yeah. I don't know exactly how it works, though. I think it's like one flag CTF.
If I go to the elf starting area, is that a different scenario?
I would presume.
Okay, just wondering. Interesting.
I presume. But yeah, the game continues to be exceedingly excellent.
I just love all those public quests.
They really are. That was such a good idea.
There's a lot of options for leveling up, because you can go do those. You just do your normal quests. You can go do, the scenarios. You never have to kind of resort to just grinding.
Right. There's always something to do that's meaningful.
Right. So it's always good and fun.
It's, like I said, the game is just so fast-paced. There's, like, no downtime. Like, between battles, you heal so quickly. Even during battles, yeah, like, your action points, everything regenerate. It's so good.
Yeah. I'm glad I caught on to it.
Yes.
Play anything else?
So, yeah, I forgot to talk about it last week, but I've been playing the bike content patch for Burnout Paradise, which is really awesome. It's like basically getting like a new motorcycle racing game for free.
You don't get the crashes quite as much, though, huh?
No, but it's not just the focus on the bikes is just pure speed. I mean, you go fast in these things. It's really fun.
Yeah, I have to try that out.
Yeah. I've also, they released the Enhanced Edition patch for The Witcher, and I've been playing a good chunk of that lately. In fact, I was just playing it before we started recording, and it's a really good game. It's getting really good, actually. It keeps getting better and better. So some of the new enhancements they put in, like, well, I guess they say they made faster load times. They must have been really slow before, and I don't remember, because it still takes a good chunk of time to load, but I guess it's not too bad. One really good thing it does is during, like, character dialogue, they do eye tracking where the characters at least keep their eyes on each other, because before they used to just kind of randomly move about, and it didn't really make a lot of sense. But, you know, they've updated, like, a lot of the character models, they re-recorded some of the lines of dialogue, so it took a good game and made it better.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah.
Why not do that every once in a while? Hey, wait a second, that stuff should have been there from the beginning. Oh, but it's free, isn't it?
Yeah.
See, that's where the argument is. Mm-hmm. I get it now. Well, I didn't really play anything else, if you're done.
It's not like a demo for Fracture, finally.
Yeah, I mean, I told you about that last week. It's fun, right?
Yeah, it's pretty unremarkable, but it's solid. I don't know.
Well, wait a second. Now you're significantly more down on this than you were when you were playing it.
Well, no, it's good. And it's got a neat gimmick to it. I just think this is a game that should have came out in the summer, you know?
Well, maybe it wasn't done for the summer.
Yeah, I know, but it's going to get buried in the holiday releases. Like, okay, do you honestly think this is going to compete with, like, Gears of War 2 or Resistance 2?
No, like, probably not, but I think it's fun enough. I might want to try it. Like, yeah, yeah. I mean, I don't know why they took this neat idea and applied it to more kind of, like, that stupid Unreal aesthetic with the sort of people who may or may not be Space Marines, but they certainly look like it. There's all this talk with your commander, and he's all gruff, and, you know, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's kind of unappealing, but the mechanic itself, it's pretty good.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of mechanics, we both played Samba de Amigo on the Wii.
Oh, yeah. A little disappointing.
How disappointing was that? It just doesn't work.
No, this is not right.
For anyone who's played the original Samba de Amigo in arcades or in the Dreamcast, the way it works is you had two maracas in each hand, and it tracked their height, high, middle, and low. But what the Wii version does, because it can't really track the height of the Wiimotes when you're holding them vertically like that, is it tracks the angle that you're holding the moat pointed up, forward, or down. But for one, I mean, pointing it straight down and still holding it the way you should is kind of awkward. And plus, because, I mean, the motion you make to activate anything is a shake, if you're going from, like, a high point to a low point, it registers that as, like, an early shake, and you'll hit your note, but it'll make the maraca shake sound, like, early, and so it completely throws you off the beat of the music, and then if you're trying to go fast back and forth things, it just doesn't keep up, and, I mean, it just flat out doesn't work. Like, it feels like Gearbox was, like, I get the feeling like some of the guys in the office are, like, really big Samba de Amigo fans, they saw the Wii, and they're like, oh, I bet this would work awesome. And, like, they found out Sega wasn't making it, and they said, hey, can we make it? And they said, yeah, sure. And then they started making it, and then they realized, like, crap, this doesn't work, but we need to release something. Because, I mean, it like, there's no way they could have been making this be like, oh, this is perfect. Like, it just flat out does not work.
Yeah, it's disappointing. Plus, it doesn't have all the fun, goofy Sega songs.
I know, which is really weird, too. That was, like, a lot of the charm for the game for me, at least.
Although, you had to download those on the Dreamcast version.
Yeah.
That was some early DLC back then, man.
That was free. They do have DLC in this one. There already is one pack available for $5 for, like, 3 songs.
By the way, you see that Rock Band 2 on Wii is going to have DLC like normal?
I thought we knew this already.
No, I don't think so.
I thought they said, like, at E3 that Rock Band 2 on the Wii will be full-featured.
Well, they may have said that, but I don't know if maybe people were still skeptical.
Yeah, whatever. Well, yeah, it's coming. I just still need some kind of storage solution. I mean, an individual song is something like 50 megs. You have 512 megs of storage, assuming it's empty.
Right. Well, all right, anything else you played?
That's it for me.
All right, well, why don't you talk about downloadable game releases?
Okay, so on the Wii, WiiWare, first of all, we had Mega Man 9. On the Virtual Console, Super Dodgeball for the NES, and Vector Man for the Genesis. A game I liked more than probably most.
Vector Man?
Yeah.
People speak highly of it. I feel like I dislike it more than most.
It was cool. It was kind of like the Genesis's Donkey Kong Country.
Well, maybe in style, they played very differently. It was just a very hard game.
Yeah.
If people complain about Mega Man 9 being hard, I can beat Mega Man 9, you know,
yeah, exactly.
In a couple of days. I probably couldn't beat Vector Man if I gave it, you know, a month.
Oh, we should also read the press release description of the game. In the year 2049, mankind is forced to abandon an overpolluted Earth and seek out other planets for colonization, while the mechanized Orbots stay behind to clean up the mess. You may as well just, you know, call it Wally.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, that idea has been played out in sci-fi before.
This gets even better. When the Orbot leader Warhead starts blowing a few circuits and causes a war among the mechanical brethren, blah, blah, blah. Okay, wait a second. Why did they call him Warhead? His job was to clean trash. You'd think they'd call him Trashhead.
I got no
like,
answer
big
for
shocker,
you.
Warhead started a war.
Oh, God.
Moving on. Xbox Live Arcade saw Duke Nukem 3D. And apparently some screenshots for Duke Nukem Forever were, like, hidden in the game.
I don't care about Duke Nukem Forever, and I don't really care about Duke Nukem 3D anymore.
Yeah. PlayStation and What Network, oh, my God, had a ton of stuff come out this past week. Mega Man 9.
Woo!
Geon Emotions, which is actually, I think it's on the Xbox Live Arcade service. Burnout Paradise became a downloadable title for $30. And they also finally, now that it's like no longer causing epileptic seizures, Wipeout HD is out for $20, which is not bad.
No, that's getting good reviews.
Yeah.
Is there a demo? No, there isn't.
No.
Too bad.
Then on the PSP, Puzzle Quest has become a downloadable title for $15. And Untold Legends Brotherhood of the Blade, which is like that Baldur's Gate Dark Alliance kind of game.
Was that a launch title?
Yeah.
Okay, I thought so.
No, wait, was it a launch title for the PS3?
Oh,
maybe. It was on the PSP as well. I forget.
I can't remember.
Yes. And then GameTap had Fallout 2 added to its library. And incidentally, Fallout 1 is now free to play. Like, even for non-subscribers.
Right. I never did get around to being Fallout 1, so I don't know. I might try Fallout 2, though. Fallout 1 got hard for me, man. It was difficult.
Yeah.
It just got difficult. I couldn't do, like, anything without getting my ass handed to me. I mean, I was kind of towards the end game, too, so.
Yeah, you played a lot more of that than I expected you ever would.
Yes, I was kind of disappointed, because I kind of thought I was going to beat it. I was going to be proud of myself, but I don't know, it just got unappealing. I mean, it was still fun, but I mean, it's that sort of Western RPG mentality of, you know, we're not going to tell you what to do. You have freedom, you know, and right. I typically just have the freedom to fail.
Well, what else is coming out this week?
Well, Silent Hill Homecoming is coming out for the PS3, and I imagine the 360 also on September 30th.
I think PC as well.
PC, well, it's coming. Mount and Blade for the PC, September 30th.
The hell
is that? September 30th is Sonic Chronicles of Dark Brotherhood.
Which, I know you said the IGN review gave it like a, what was it, a 7?
6 or something, 6.5.
1UP gave it an A.
Well, the reviews are all over the place for this. They're high from low.
It's in my Gamefly queue.
This does not look appealing to me. Sonic and friends are gonna fight the alien invaders. No.
I'm holding a we'll see mentality here.
It sounds like an episode from like that Sonic X anime show. Valhalla Knights 2 for the PSP October 1st.
That's cool.
Sniper Art of Victory for the PC September 30th. Mega Man 9 for the 360 October 1st.
Ooh.
Harvest Moon, Tree of Tranquility for the Wii, September 30th. It always does me good to see that those games are still around. Bomberman Blast for the Wii, September 29th. That's a download game, by the way.
Yeah.
For WiiWare. Unsolved Crimes for the DS, September 30th. War World for Xbox 360, October 1st.
Never heard of that.
No. The Settlers 4 Gold Edition for the PC, September 30th.
Why does it have a picture of Civ 4?
I don't know.
Well, The Settlers is Sierra's kind of real-time civilization sort of game. They're actually not bad. I've played a few.
Wii Cheer for the Wii, September 30th.
All right.
Hardy Boys, The Hidden Theft for the PC, September 30th.
Okay.
Well, here's that Mortal Kombat Collection again for the PS2, September 29th. This is like the third week, but this time it actually has the games that are in it. Got Mortal Kombat Deception, Mortal Kombat Armageddon, and Mortal Kombat Shaolin Monks. I don't know why you need Deception and Armageddon. Whatever. And Cell Zenith for the PC. September 30th.
That is.
It's Zenith, isn't it?
Maybe.
I always say Zenith, but I think it's a Zenith point. Yeah, Zenith.
Huh. That makes sense.
But, so that's that. And, now we're gonna go over to the 10th hour. Derek Robbins' top 10 list on 4-in-1 Mania. The top 10 Final Fantasy characters.
It's a topic you're well versed on.
Yes. Those of you may still remember my epic 6-month, quest to beat every Final Fantasy game that was a success. So, I'll judge this. First off, number 10, we have Auron from Final Fantasy X.
Whoa, way too low.
Yeah, that's what I feel. I think that's too low for Auron. Auron is just, he was a badass. He was sweet. We'll see who's above him. 9 is Rydia from Final Fantasy IV. And, you know,
The girl.
Yeah, she's the summoner. I typically feel like that game's is overrated, and I don't know. I wasn't a fan of Rydia. She was, I don't know. I mean, there wasn't that much characterization in 4 in general, so, you know.
Right.
8 is Zell from Final Fantasy VIII, which is interesting because I don't hear very many people say they like Zell, but I liked Zell. He was
He's
in my
like the
eight.
Baggy pants and stuff.
Yeah, he was got nice guy. I kind of liked the guy with the gun more. Do you remember his name?
No, but I just know you liked him because he like shot the final boss in the face and killed it.
Yes, that was great. Irvine, I think his name was. Yeah, Irvine. Yeah, that's I liked it, Irvine a bit more, but Zell was fine. I liked Zell. 7 is Zidane, the main character from Final Fantasy IX. Yeah, that's fine. 6 is Cid Highwind from Final Fantasy VII, which probably is the best Cid.
Hey, you know that he has the same birthday as me?
Yes, I remember that. 5 is Tidus from Final Fantasy VIII. Ten. Jesus. So
yeah,
Tidus.
I don't like Tidus or Tidus or whatever you want to call it.
Why?
Really, he's kind of whiny.
You're going to have to say that again.
So he's kind of whiny.
Well, he's kind of whiny, but it's that sort of the Japanese thing. I don't know. I played through it. He wasn't quite that whiny. I don't know. He was appealing enough for me. He was a good main character, I thought. 4, we got Kefka from Final Fantasy VI, which, yeah, that's my favorite villain, so that's a good choice. Mm-hmm. 3 is Cells, or Celis, depending on how you pronounce it, from Final Fantasy VI.
I like her.
I don't know if I put her this high, but yeah, good character. 2 is Balthier from Final Fantasy XII, so...
Right on. He's awesome.
I do enjoy that choice. He would be in my top 3. And number 1 is Vivi from Final Fantasy IX.
I can accept that.
I liked Vivi a lot, yeah. I don't know if he'd be my number 1, but... Yeah, so... I got no giant problems. I would have put Auron a lot higher. I would have put Irvine in there.
Yeah, he's the only Final Fantasy VII character. Cid, that's interesting.
Oh... I think he's said in the past he's not a big Final Fantasy VII guy. I'm sure I would have a different list. I probably can't think of it up right now, but it's a good list. Thank you for the plug again, Derek. So why don't we go to the mail barrel? I know we heard from a new voice this time.
Yes, a reader by the name of Zach Egolf has sent us an email. Guys, love the show. Just wanted to give you a couple reader questions to answer in the next show, since you tend to hear from the same people / person. But we love you all. I've got two questions for you. Number one, what are your feelings on the recently revealed information pertaining to DLC being released side-by-side with Mega Man 9? Do you think it's fair to gamers to have DLC that was obviously developed concurrent with the game, released as a way to make more money off a franchise? Particularly, don't you think it's pretty shitty that they're selling difficulty levels? I would refer you to about a half hour ago. I probably should have mentioned this before then.
Look, I get it. I know it's kind of sucky we have to pay for these things and stuff like that, but I mean, you know, I spend a dollar on other crappy things throughout the day, you know? Like the park and stuff. And I don't like that either. Okay, you know, that was a pretty dumb analogy, huh?
Yeah. We'll just leave it alone. We talked about it.
I know. Because I feel like I don't want to sound like I'm okay with it because it's a game I like. And I'm not having a good time justifying it otherwise. I mean,
right.
You know, I understand why people are upset. And, you know, maybe they have a right to be. I wish I could bring myself to care more, I guess.
We'll move on to this next question. It's actually a good question. Along the topic of rumors, do you guys have any comments on the recent altercation between Brian Crescente and Cheap ED of Cheap Ass Gamer over credibility and rumors being posted on news blogs? I think in the past that... I know we talked about it a little bit a few weeks ago. And yeah, I think they both, like, kind of need to get over themselves a bit. But I've said in the past, I feel like the new prevalent blogging structure of gaming news and it, like, the subjectivity that comes with it has created this kind of murkiness inside of, like, games journalism. Like, just, like, I mean, how often do you go to, like, these sites and you just see all these, like, you know, rumor is like the big first word there. Like you'll notice whenever I don't even report like on the rumor stories on Kotaku and Joystick or anything in the podcast because like 90% of the time they turn out to be false. And, like, you know, they have like these shady sources. It's like a guy who knew a guy on a forum who took some pictures. And like, yeah, I just think like it's becoming more and more important to take a lot of what you hear on, be it cheap-ass gamers forums or right on the main page of Kotaku. You got to take a lot of it with a grain of salt sometimes. And yes, Kotaku and Joystick, I think they take it a little more seriously than, like, the cheap-ass gamer forums. And they do a lot of, like, you know, hardcore, good old-fashioned journalism. So I don't want to, like, say that their sites are completely useless. But, like I said, it just has too much of a taint of subjectivity to it sometimes for my taste.
My problem with the sort of blog sites is I think they try too hard to inject humor into things sometimes.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Like everything's got to end with some little one-off comment on the end. It's like a little jokey stinger and everything.
Yeah, and it's like, okay, haha, you're very funny.
Yes.
Well, finish up that email.
It just wraps up by saying keep up the great work. I look forward to your podcast each week. You guys have real brotherly chemistry, and it's great to hear that on the show, Zach. Thank you so much for writing, Zach.
You can't fake that real brotherliness, I guess.
Yeah, helps that we're brothers, I guess. did you get any more mail? That's all I got.
That's it? Well, I guess so, yeah. David kind of chaffed me a little bit. He asked me why I wasn't playing Mega Man 9 at some point, and I told him because I already beat it. And I told him I was awesome. Because I am awesome. So I guess I'm done.
Yep.
Oh my god.
That wraps it up.
If I was tired before this podcast, I'm super tired now.
Yeah. It doesn't end. I still got a lot of crap to do tonight. Oh well. Well, let's wrap this up then and get out of here. We thank you for listening. This is the Exploding Barrel Podcast. You can find us on our website at explodingbarrel.wordpress.com. Email me at adjguy711@gmail.com or...
I was just going to let you do it. You were on a roll.
Okay. You can email Mike at tolkoto@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. And we'll see you all next week.
Don't I usually do that outro?
Yeah, I don't know. It just kind of came to me.
That's fine.
All right.
All right, you can stop it there.